Welcome back to the Leadership in Management Book Talk podcast. I'm here with my favorite book reviewer, Wally Bach. Wally, how are you today?
I'm feeling so favorite, and I'm ready to review.
Are you ready to rock? I asked that question before. You're still thinking about it.
I'm thinking that rocking like in the cradle is probably pretty good.
Rocking in the chair, perhaps. So that's not how I intended it, Wally.
I could start my my automatic playlist here. That's the special rock playlist.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we could do that. I'll stand on a corner in Winslow, Arizona.
Right. All right. I can relate to the Eagles, so that's good. Hey, so we're here today, and we have what I think was a provocative topic. And like always, we don't really pre-prep or share with each other what books we're going after. So it kind of ends up as a mutual surprise. And today's theme is books no one has fundamentally heard of. I think, it's interesting. And now, I do know enough to know that you went to one end of the spectrum in terms of time and date, and I went to the other end, but a case can be made, at least from the evidence that I see about this more current book, that no one knows about it, and I think they should. And in your case, I've never heard of it, and I love the author.
So I'll start then.
Let me
get into this. When we decided to do this, a book that we thought was great, that other people didn't seem to have heard of, I went back through, I was thinking of a couple of different books. And I eliminated several of them because you can't get them on Amazon anymore.
Okay.
But almost all of them were 20 years old or so. And they are what I think of as having been plowed under by the other stuff that's come behind it. So they're not like Drucker, who kind of lives forever. But the author, I don't think has written a management book other than the one I'm going to share. He's written a lot of great stuff. His name is Edward De Bono, Maltese genius and polymath.
Yes. Mr. Six Thinking, that's Mr. Lateral Thinking.
Yes, and we both like all of that. This is a book called Tactics, and it's about how you can be successful. Now, you would think that a book by Edward De Bono about how to be successful, given everything else he's written, is something people would snap up. Evidently, they did not. This did not go to multiple editions. People would be quoting it to each other. They're not. It's a book that includes profiles of people and interviews with people that you would think would call others to, call other people to want to read the book. For example, one of the people that he talks about in here is Sting, musician. So what is it about the book? I decided to tell you, and you could ask me embarrassing questions in a minute, but for those of you who can't see me on radio, I'm opening the book now. He says, you do not have to want to be successful. You do not want to have to value success. But if you do want to be successful, there are two attitudes. The first is the passive attitude, which tells you there is nothing you can do except wait for luck and pray for the right talent and temperament. The second is a positive attitude, which tells you that there are things you can do and that those will make a difference. For example, typical De Bono coming up, reading this book and taking note of what seems important to you.
That's what
the book is about.
I mean, I'm trying to get a feel or a flavor for this book. Is this a variant of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, profiling interviewing the successful people, or Tim Ferriss's Tools of Titans? I mean, where does it fit on the continuum of those two?
Okay, now that's an interesting continuum. I would say that it's not on the continuum. It's kind of off by itself. It is written as a whole book, which makes it more like the Napoleon Hill and less like Tools of the Titans, but it talks about specific practices in ways that are more like Tools of the Titans and less like the general principles kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason to read it, and we'll send you a link, folks, so you'll know where to find this puppy on Amazon, is that it just gives you fresh stuff. For example, I'm going to flip back to this thing for a second. On another point, he said, positive attitude toward luck is to be ready for it, to spot it, and to make maximum use of it. Now, that to me is a combination of Wise's research on what makes lucky people, the luck factor, and something that we've talked about in the, what is it, the Great by Choice.
Right, thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're going to have luck.
Yeah, you're going to have luck. Some of it good, some of it bad. It's what you do with it.
It's what you do with it.
Yeah.
Book is filled with that. I will say this. I have been back to this book on and off. I'll go maybe a year without looking at it. And then I'll sit down and read 50 pages because I went looking for something I thought I remembered. Mm-hmm. What I like is the profiles. Nolan Bushnell is in here. Mark McCormick, the agent, but also, like I said, I'm trying to find a name that you would know.
I know those. I know
Sir Clive Sinclair.
I don't know that name.
Aha! That's inventor of the Sinclair computer, one of the first really small, inexpensive computers. Brit, in the U.S. Yeah. But there's a whole range of people here. William Agee, the insurance guy, is in there. Just lots of people, lots of insights, and DeBona pulls it together at the end of every chapter with four or five points in typical DeBona fashion.
You've not dissuaded me from the Think and Grow Rich. It's the only thing I'm latching a hold of here in my relatively insignificant brain. It seems like it. But nonetheless, you've got me curious. I love DeBono. I am an advocate, a devotee of his Thick Thinking Hats approach to facilitation. I use it weekly. Every week I find occasion to use that. And I'm fascinated that I've never heard of this book. And I'm wondering what's wrong with it, Wally.
Well, I haven't found anything wrong with it. But it's different from his other books. I think what we do sometimes with authors like DeBono is we put them in a box and we say, okay, this guy does lateral thinking and creativity and thinking hats. And what was the other one? There was one with shoes that were colored and stuff. But he does all these same kinds of books. And this is a very different book.
Okay.
Makes this good to me is that the writer is who it is.
Okay.
With that same kind of insight, that same kind of way to draw principles out of things, that same kind of lively attachment, but it's interviews. I don't know any other book where he's done interviews.
Interesting.
It's profiles. I don't know any other book where he's done profiles.
Did you happen to search at all on Goodreads to see if other people had commented about this book?
No, because I didn't want to tax my own. To throw that into this to the show. I try not to do that before we do our podcasts.
Okay, so. Right. Interesting thought. Yeah, I'm just curious. So again, I'm fascinated. I love the author. Once again, you've influenced my reading list. Older book, we can still get it on Amazon?
You can still get it on Amazon. There's actually a couple of different links. I'll send you the one that doesn't have the $775 hardback first edition.
All of our listeners, all 11 of them appreciate that.
Well, all 11 of them appreciate it. But you'll be able to pick a used copy of this up in paperback for $1.96, I think it was, this morning. So you went to the other end of things, though. You said this book is unknown and it's new. Speak to me,
Art. It's new and it's different, and I like it a lot. True confession, I'm still reading it. So I'm not through the entire book yet. And as you know, I tend to have a couple of themes in my reading for things that I like. One is that there's a framework I can use and apply. And the other is an author who makes me think. And I would say that this particular book, Leading in the Digital World, How to Foster Creativity, Collaboration, and Inclusivity by Amit Mukherjee, I think this one makes me think more than it offers a framework, although he does attempt to do that. You know, it was published in 2020. It's out by, I believe, MIT Press. It's got one review on Amazon. It's got one comment on Goodreads by a gentleman we both read quite a bit and admire his writing and commentary on books, Ted Kinney, who liked it as well. but it's got me scratching my head as to why no one's talking about it. Probably because I find that this, in this whole genre of books that are talking about transformation and, you know, the digital world, this is the one that's kind of jumped out and said, you know, this guy has something really useful to say. So I'm looking here in my notes for what Ted Kinney had to say. Wouldn't you know it, those notes disappear.
That's what you have. It's that digital world again.
Yeah, I'm living in the digital world.
Ephemeral pixels.
I may have deleted Ted Kinney's note here. Nonetheless, the theme from the author is, hey, leading in the digital world is, you know, why this book is different. Well, it's different from all other leadership book because it provides a model of leadership that reflects the impact of digital technologies. And I believe he lives up to that claim. His perspective is, hey, the technologies are all fundamentally changing. This is a major shift. It's a, you know, and just a major shift, and it's going to help you rethink what it is to lead now that the context has changed completely. He has principles to operate by. His focus is on creating leaders of creativity, and I like the creativity orientation. It's kind of a, you know, some of it's been said, but some of it's not been said in this way. So again, still reading, like it a lot, don't understand why almost no one is referencing or talking about this book, because I think it's worthy of being in the conversation.
Well, I would offer two possibilities. One is the number 1,000, which is the number of business books that Forbes says hit Amazon every month.
Wow.
Every 11,000 books a year, so a little less than 1,000 a month. Okay. There's just a lot of stuff out there. And second, no one ever accused MIT Press of being a publicity engine of any kind. I mean, they publish great stuff, but regular legacy publishers don't do much publicity. The academic houses, MIT and Harvard and that, try to do even less. And the only people who are below that are the people who have written and self-published a book that they know will be a bestseller,
right,
but haven't done any work to promote. Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny, Wally, I've gone digging for somebody at MIT Press that can help me out. I'd be happy to interview the author. I'd be happy to write a post about this. I'd be happy to share it. We're sharing it here, of course, but in a number of different ways. Darned if I can find anyone. So I'm not giving up. And maybe one of our 11 listeners has a tie-in, you know, the 6 degrees of separation.
Yes. If you're out there and you've got a hook that we can use for Art to make that interview, go for it. It will be a public service.
I haven't checked. Maybe the author has a Twitter feed or something like that. You know, there are a few other comments. There's a research orientation to it, like all of these books. You know, 700 mid-tier to senior executives in global organizations. I like the parts. It's got multiple parts. The first one, what do digital technologies really do? And effectively pays off 7 ways the context for leadership is changing. The second part, leading for creativity, and that delves into the mindsets, behaviors, and actions needed to do just that. The third part offers guide rails for creativity, for creative efforts, how to ensure that bold digital technology initiatives don't self-destruct. And part 4, Where Next, deals with how to take the lessons from the book. And I kind of was intrigued. The author does something that I value a lot, which he caps off the book with how you can build your personal leadership philosophy in this digital world.
Well, first of all, you have to want a personal leadership philosophy. It's way too much easier to copy somebody else's. But I think it sounds like a book that's worth reading, and I probably will since you like it. I think that the whole idea of leadership is somehow new because of the technology, I basically question that. I don't think leaders have changed much since Odysseus was rolling his boat up on the beach there at Troy. I think that that the basics of it are there, but how you apply it is really different. You know,
all right. And I just found Ted Kinney's comment, and he addresses that. His very short statement was, hey, this book makes a strong case that digital technologies are transformative and thus require new leadership standards, as well as new business models, strategies, ways of working, et cetera. And so that's kind of the theme that you're getting from it.
Yeah, and I have to admit that I'm skeptical of that theme.
Okay.
I don't think there's that much that's new. You know, I like to think, okay, technology changes fast. Social changes are fast, but not as fast as technology. But human nature doesn't change, at least not in a time scale that we can understand. And leadership gets into the human nature part. So what I look for in that kind of a book is, how is it going to tell me how I can use the technology, whatever it is, to be better at making connections, building relationships, building trust, setting a vision, sharing a vision, all of that stuff that leaders do.
So he goes into the point of offering what he terms mindsets, behaviors, and actions that we should embrace given this changing context. You know, it's interesting. I'm thinking back to an article I wrote a number of years ago. It ended up being the initial article in my Leadership Caffeine collection. And I made the statement that, hey, you know, leadership doesn't fundamentally change throughout history, but the context in which people lead does, and therefore we have to adapt. And I think that's where his mindsets, behaviors, and actions come into the equation. So, I'd go so far as to take the side of the debate that said, hey, look, yeah, I agree with you. Humans don't change, but the context in which we lead does, which means we need to change how we lead. Interesting dialogue.
I think we do need to look at how we lead, mm-hmm. because there are a lot of things that are changing. Technology is only a piece of it. We've got some research that our fathers didn't have. The old DC and Ryan self-determination theory stuff. A few other really good pieces coming out of the world of psychology that make sense. But we still haven't, you know, internalized Douglas McGregor and the human side of enterprise. So, I'll wait and see where all this goes.
One of the things that grabbed me, though, and he drew on our friend General McChrystal, and he described McChrystal's description of, here we were, trained at West Point, you know, some of the best trained people in the world, dealing with circumstances where the conditions changed radically every single day. And if you were an engineer from West Point, it made your head hurt just realizing you didn't know how to deal with it. So I think it's those types of changes. I think this is an interesting complement to McChrystal's book. And I'm interested to, once I conclude it, to see if these might be two good books to read together in a pair.
Together. Mm. We're going to do a show on that.
I have heard that.
We're going to do a whole podcast. Yes.
So stay tuned. Stay tuned for that.
Okay. I don't have anything nearly as grandiose to offer. All I can tell you is, if you want to be more successful, this thing's got advice like, more self-analysis does not mean better self-analysis. So if you want a certain practical flavor with famous names you may not have heard of before because they're 40 years old.
They're dead.
Or dead. Yes, there are several who are dead, but there's also Nolan Bushnell. So
we can
do it all. It's a good book to pick up. I was also thinking about paired things because of our conversations. One of the books that I would pair this with is not Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich, but is Jack Canfield's book on principles from five or six years ago.
Success Principles?
The Success Principles. Thank you. I was blank on that, and you leapt to my rescue.
I filled that gap. Well, that's what I'm here for. You carry me a lot, Wally. Every once in a while, it's okay to carry you.
He ain't heavy. He's my podcast partner. Okay.
All right.
If you want to take tactics, I suggest doing it If you want to invest $1.29 in a paperback version,
right,
I think it'll be well worth your time. I think it'd be worth your time if you spent $700 on the first edition hardback, but that's just
nice. Okay. Well, that's a great vote of confidence. Mine is Leading in the Digital World, How to Foster Creativity, Collaboration, and Inclusivity. I'm still reading it. I like it. It's making me think. Wally has challenged me to substantiate whether there's anything particularly new about it. And I think there is, but I need a little more time to process on that. So if you want a book that makes you think in the world of leadership that ties to the technologies, it's brand new from a place like MIT, and apparently no one else has read, this is your book.
Okay. And Art's the only one that's read it, so he's our expert.
That's worrisome, Wally, worrisome. All right, my friend. Well, as always, great fun. Can't wait for our next chance to connect, and I'll look forward to seeing and hearing from you in our next show.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Wally. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.